Hey, podcasters, Clazy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, a listener lets us name her baby.
Jess from Maths drops a bombshell.
What did your dog eat?
And our Red Hot Chili Peppers review. Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. The Big Breakfast catch-up is for Dale Alcock.
Married at First Sight, rating all over Australia. The numbers sure keep rising. And one of the couples, Jess and Mick, they've been on again, off again during the experiment. They just can't seem to make it work. And this morning in studio, we've got Jess with us. Good morning, hey. Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Now, Jess, last week your husband Mick wanted to leave.
Yes.
And this week he had to stick around because you said stay. What a chump. But this week Mick called your dad a drunk, your brother a profanity, and your friends an even worse profanity.
Yeah.
Do you think he was just trying to get you to leave him?
He's such a smooth talker.
Look. I actually questioned Mick about that leave when we got home, and because he had his bags packed for his homestay. And so I was like, babe, why did you say leave if you've got your bags packed for us to go to homestay?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, oh, I just wanted to get a rocket up your bum to, like, you know, give me more attention.
Oh.
So the leave actually wasn't warranted, but, yeah, it's been made out like that.
Mm.
So the wording about my family really came out of nowhere. I was very shocked. I was very I was really upset. We'd had a really good homestay, and it just turned into this horrible nightmare that I couldn't wake up from.
So you had a good time in Gympie?
Look.
Did you ever see yourself as a Gympie girl?
What a weird statement.
Definitely not. Gympie is somewhere like when you go camping with your girlfriends, you go for a week or with your family or whatever, and it's fun, but you don't live in Gympie. You don't live, like, I'm a city girl, like, born and bred. Like,
sure.
I couldn't move out to a farm. And like, those sheep, they headbutt you, and they do bite you. Mick's like, they don't bite. I'm like, well, they bloody do.
See, he's just constantly lying to you.
Yeah
he's he was constantly pushing me. Even before his homestay, he kept saying, oh, you're going to hate it at my place, because I'm OCD clean, and Mick's just like bird poo on the couch. Like, everything's just been open since he's left to come to the experiment. Hasn't changed his bed sheets in like 2 years.
Nothing in there.
Jess is here from Married at First Sight. I'd rather be a skimpy than live in Gympie, to be honest. But I just want to say, can you go anywhere right now, because this show is so big, without being recognised?
No, I can't even go down to Coles right now without people asking questions or wanting photos. And I'm super polite and I'm so happy to do it. But it's when I go out to like a bar where a few people have had a few drinks and they get a little bit more confident. They think they know you. And I so get it. If I seen somebody that I watch on TV, I would be like, oh my God. But when they, you know, they get very much in your space. And I don't mind it, but I just can't enjoy myself anymore.
Well, look out now, because you've said those things about Gympie. You're going to have people going, hang on a minute, I like Gympie.
Look, Gympie's not a bad place. Like, I just personally wouldn't live there.
And I've been banned from Gympie.
Yeah.
Now, Jess, oh, really?
You know,
now,
there are so few moments you guys get on your own where you're not being filmed. Everything's being covered.
Yeah.
Yet you openly were sort of flirting with two other husbands at the cocktail party. At least that's how it's been delivered. What were you thinking?
Look, the conversation with Nick sort of was a little bit pushed by producers. We were both a bit confused as to why we even had to have that conversation.
Right.
This was the conversation
between Nick and I.
Yep.
Nick and I, we'd been friends throughout the whole experiment. We'd always had, like, we're almost the same age. We had like flirty banter, I call it. But like, it was, I would never want to swap in the experiment. It was always just sort of like, if you were out and I met you out, like, I would take you for a drink. But we were never into each other in the way that it's been portrayed. A lot of things were cut and edited out of that conversation to make it look so much more than what it was.
Sure.
And I actually had like text messages from my producer, and I've messaged her after going, what are you going to do with that?
What about with Dan though?
Yeah.
Oh,
here we go. Yeah. This is a different, Nick Schmidt, mate.
This is the rumor mill.
Yeah.
The rumor mill is saying you're with Dan, Tamara's husband.
Actually,
your
body language just changed.
Is that true?
Big time.
Dan, you'll have to keep watching.
Hey!
Watching.
Good.
Look, the way that I did act actually at the dinner party, I'm very apologetic about, because that was a bit disgusting on my behalf. But in saying that. Keep watching, but I'm saying not that it's going worked to deny we're in the love. Connection yeah. that I have with right. somebody right. at the minute.
Right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Written and authorised by Channel 9, spoken by Jess.
That's yeah. quite a scoop.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, fire out. These photos, like, I'm just sitting here going, what am I supposed to say?
Yes.
But, yeah, please keep watching because, yeah, it is something that I would like people to get out and, you know, talk about rather than, you know, be very one-sided.
Right.
It does blossom into something a little bit more.
Oh, it's not the scandalous, filthy cocktail party affair that we thought it was.
No, definitely aww. Not. Definitely,
boo.
No,
boo.
Yeah, definitely not.
Before you go, can we get a selfie? Because one of my friends here at the Lookout thought you were a bitch and you're really nice.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love a selfie. Love a good photo.
Good on you, Jess.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in and being a good sport. And we think you were pretty honest this morning. Maybe too much. You come up in a bit of stroke.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys. And I did tell you about the fact that there was a dog at a dinner party I went to recently, a beautiful house in Wembley, in the backyard. It was idyllic. And then all of a sudden someone realised that the dog was into the leftovers, eating onion out of the leftover, this beautiful sort of, you know, cooked up batch of vegetables.
Very toxic.
So much onion.
What won't dogs eat?
Well, Florence is, what, 14 weeks old. There is nothing she won't try.
Yeah. Glenys is in Baldivis. Glenys, what did your dog eat?
It's actually my granddaughter's medical assistance dog, who was a $25,000 dog. This was about 3 months ago. He decided that he was going to eat a corn cob, a full corn cob, one of those little bouncy balls, and the string toys that you give their dogs to play with. Yeah, that was all caught up in his bowel.
Wow.
Yep. $8,000 later to have part of his bowel removed and all these things that he wasn't supposed to eat. So, yeah, that was a nice little surprise for my 8-year-old friend.
That's an expensive 3-course meal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you've got this dog who saves my granddaughter's life every day, you don't want him stuck in a vet and feeling very sorry for himself.
No.
But he didn't learn his lesson because he does it all the time.
A corn cob, a ball. I mean, that's a very unhappy meal.
Amazing.
Thanks, Glenys.
Wasn't even worth it. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
Good on you, Glenys.
That's amazing. Chrissy's in Singleton. Chrissy, what did your dog eat?
Well, it was actually my parents' dog, and it was a Staffy, and she just ate everything. One of them was my sister's birth control pills.
Oh, at least really? She's being responsible, Chrissy. That's good.
Well, that's it. She had no problems with pregnancy.
Well, not human ones, anyway.
My dad had a mobile phone in a leather case, and she just had this thing with leather too, and she just devoured the whole thing.
It makes you wonder how they don't choke, how they don't, like, how does it make it into their actual digestive systems? It's
and
insane.
And out the other side, that's right.
And Chrissy, I want to know, did the dog get the right days on the contraceptive pill?
I think she just covered the whole lot.
Well
thanks,
done.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Was that a text message? No, it's inside the dog. That's amazing. You've swallowed the phone.
Let's go out to, is that Vivash?
Vivash,
David, g'day, mate.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good, thanks. What did your dog eat?
I've got a seven-month-old Tibetan Mastiff, and since I've had her for 5 months, she's eaten 7 pairs of socks, 8 pairs of shoes, 1 pair of boots, 2 leashes, 5 power cords, including my computer cord, my watch, an owl that was in the backyard, it was plastic, 8 buckets, 3 dresses, 3 socks, 5 pens, a couple of handkerchiefs, 35 feet of industrial paper towel, and 7 balls.
Jeez, you're saving a fortune on food, Dave.
You are. Well-balanced
diet.
What
dog do you say it is?
It's a Tibetan Mastiff.
Tibetan Mastiff. So it's doing all this, but it's very zen about it.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and it's got a foot fetish.
He says that too. He's people all the time, but that's just for the soul, I suppose. Oh, yeah. She's a beautiful dog. At 5 months, she was 7 kilos. And now she's 45 kilos.
Oh, my goodness.
Your dog is having a garage sale in its stomach. That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we keep finding things in amongst the backyard.
Thanks, David.
I can definitely sympathise with David on the paper towel. Florence
loves paper.
Well, for wheeze and because it's great to eat.
How about guitar strings? Is it on there yet?
Oh, let's not talk about
sorry
guitars.
To mention the war.
Gail's in Mandra. Gail, what did your dog
eat?
Good morning.
This is actually a story about my friend's dog. My friend was brick paving in his backyard with an angle grinder.
Yeah.
And the angle grinder shattered and sliced his forearm and part of his muscle tore away.
Right.
And as the muscle fell onto the ground, the little Jack Russell ran over and grabbed it and ate it while it was still pumping.
Ate his muscle!
We shouldn't laugh.
No.
It's horrendous, but...
Oh, that's a Jack Russell thing too. They're hunting dogs.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
The raw human flesh.
Oh, yes. I mean, God.
Thought it was pretty exciting. exciting.
Yeah, 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 it's a feast.
I mean, we're parboiling our meat at the moment, but that's...
Great story. Thanks, Gail.
That's incredible. Thanks,
not
Gail.
A problem. Thank you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Game of Thrones.
Winter is coming.
HBO have released the official trailer for the 8th and final season of Game of Thrones with a dramatic peek at the Battle of Winterfell. This is my dramatic trailer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You got it?
Seeing this one.
There it is.
Our enemy doesn't tire, doesn't stop. I promise to fight for the living. And to keep that promise.
Now, it's been a 2-year wait, so the question is, Matt, do you even remember what has happened in previous seasons? Well, do you know what's going to happen?
No, because I still haven't seen the last two episodes of the last series.
Oh, really?
But
you've
I
been
was
busy.
Thinking about, everyone's been waiting for this big fight. And
who commits 7 seasons to something and then leaves the last two eps?
He's just got a dog.
Life gets in the way, Kimber.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
the dog
the White Walkers. They distract you occasionally.
Oh, it's true. Well, Game of Thrones, it premieres April 15th in Australia, and there'll be 6 episodes in total.
Yes.
And then no more. That is it.
Done and dusted.
So it'll be done and dusted, but okay. I suspect it's going to be pretty big because, as we say, 2-year wait. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Now, guys, in other movie news, Venus and Serena Williams are arguably the most well-known female tennis players in the world.
Yeah.
And the story of their lives is coming. The film King Richard is the story of Richard Williams, their father, overcoming hardship, skepticism, and controversy to train his daughters from the age of 4, despite him having no background in tennis.
Yeah, big influence on the career, though.
Yeah.
He's always there.
And who's going to play King Richard?
Morgan Freeman.
Larry Fishburne.
Will Smith.
Oh, really? Okay.
Will Smith.
Okay.
Now, and I'd look.
Great.
The other catch to this is that the script was runner-up on the Blacklist 2008 list, which is an intensive writing workshop in LA. So I can't tell if this is going to be super budget or really big. Like, I don't know how you secure Will Smith, but it also seems like the script was written in a writing conference.
Is Blacklist specific African-American stories? Is that why it's called Blacklist?
Wish I could tell you. Uh-huh. Looked it up to find out. All I know is it's a writing convention in LA.
Or you're on the Blacklist.
And it's very intense. Yeah, that's okay. All they told me.
All right.
And last night, Red Hot Chili Peppers in Perth.
How good is it when you hear 32,000 people singing together?
Oh, hardly pitchy at all.
Yeah.
But it was a really great gig, super solid performance from the Chili's. I have to say, I didn't go there expecting much.
Oh,
because
really?
I've kept this quiet, but when I saw them at the Big Day Out in about 95, I thought they were rubbish.
Yeah.
The performance wasn't very good, and I was like, I don't know if I can be bothered. But
Hang on.
Like, they're a big band and I want to go.
Just want to ask a question. Perhaps you were rubbish that day?
Oh, maybe, but Nine Inch Nails absolutely caned them.
Go,
they weren't even close.
Oh,
he mentions that in his book, Scar Tissue. He wasn't happy.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting much. I was like, I like their songs. I'm probably going to have a good time. I thought they were excellent.
These guys in their mid to late 50s, rocking out.
Yeah. I really loved it.
And Flea, I just want to race around the stage like Flea.
Oh,
how good was that?
He's awesome.
Mega bass player.
Yeah.
And HBF Park, NIB Stadium, I think it's a better stadium than Optus for a gig.
Yep, I agree.
You know, Optus Stadium, the last sound we went there for Eminem, the sound was pretty not so impressive.
It's also Kimber, so big. The people from Optus are here. They want to speak.
Oh, sorry.
To you.
Have I told you how much I love Optus?
But thanks, Chili Peppers. Had a great night.
Yeah.
Go Chili's.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yes, Peter Kuravita, fantastic chef. His afternoon at Epicurean on Sunday, March the 10th, and then an overnight stay at Crown. Beautiful prize.
We want to know what you'll give us for the overnight stay at Crown. Becky's in Mount Helena. Becky, what are you going to offer?
Look, I'm prepared to sacrifice my mornings because I'm not a morning person at all.
Right.
But I'm prepared to come into the studio and give each of you three, plus Captain Paul, a head and shoulders massage whilst you're doing your show.
A bit worried about what
you're
saying
offer.
There, Beck. That sounds sense. You've woken Captain Paul up too over there.
Becky, have you got any professional skills?
Look, I don't have professional skills, but I do massages for my friends and family.
Oh, okay. All right, it's on the list.
Yeah, you're up there, good Becky. One. I tell you, this is stiff competition.
You know, I think that's better than coffee.
Yeah.
Jackie's in Sorrento. Jackie, what are you prepared to give us for the overnight stay at Crown?
All right, I know it sounds like a booby price, but I promise you it's not. It's really fun. It's all my English papers.
Oh,
you get to mark them.
Oh, we get to mark them.
Oh, oh, you're a teacher.
No, it's really fun. You get to look for grammatical errors, spelling errors, and sometimes, if you're really lucky, the kids haven't actually answered the question, but you have to still try and give them marks.
We love red pen.
Oh, how many have you got, Jackie? How many papers to mark?
I've got about 80. So oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's
Jack. It's a real win for you guys.
That's a treat.
I know you're being facetious, Jackie, but Kimber actually would enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm good with a red pen.
She loves a bit of
it. No, it really is fun, I promise.
Once a teacher, always a cranky teacher.
Oh, good on you, Jackie.
Not you, Jackie, Kimber.
All right, let's check. Jody's in Baldivis.
Jody,
what are you going to give us for a stay at Crown?
Can't, Jodes.
Hi, guys. I'd love to give you the naming rights to the baby that I'm carrying.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, here we go.
Stop it.
What, you're going to call it Big Breakfast?
I'm 8 weeks away from having my baby, and I reckon, Kimber, for the middle name, it sounds perfect.
Thank you, Joe. I do get a lot of compliments on my name. I know it's a bit unusual, but people do love it.
Yeah, but okay,
I love it.
That's great. But where are you going to put Matt and Claire's?
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
It can have a really long extra middle name.
Well, it has to be Kimber with a Y. You've got to get that right, kind of.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
I think that's perfect.
Jodie, how serious, how are we going to follow up and check that you actually legitimately do this?
Well, I'm 8 weeks away. You can always come to the hospital.
Okay.
Well,
you're up for that.
I'll tell you what.
Be there with me in the labour ward if you need to be.
Jodie, if Diktinsky appears on that birth certificate, you have got this prize. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
It's in the bag.
If you put Claire's in a middle name, that's going to confuse the hell out of people. Is it a girl or a boy? What's going on?
It's going to make for a great story when you're like, Kimber's the middle name, and for the rest of your life, that child's going to be going, where'd you get your name from? Well, my mum wanted one night at the Crown Towers, and she sold me.
My baby moon.
We're following up on this, Jodie. You can't take the morning tea and run. You've got to back it up.
I agree.
Okay.
And we listen to you all the time, so Bubs will be stoked to have your guys' names as a middle name.
Hey. Well, let's face it, this is my only chance at immortality.
Yeah, you're right.
So I should take it.
You always wanted a planet named after you.
All right, well, we've put Jodie in the cone of silence. We need to talk about what we're going to do. Who's going to win this prize? Is it Jodie? We've got the Becky with the massage, Jackie with her 65 English
let's
papers.
Let's be honest, Jackie's got no chance.
Was it David who's offered the coffees.
And
Jodie is going to give the naming rights to her baby.
Well, Jodie's got to win if she's going to follow through.
Yeah.
Really?
Not sure she can.
Yeah, that's a bit tough. Might have to have a discussion
What's
with
it going
to
be?
Becky or David?
Quick,
coffee or massage?
I take the massage.
Okay,
massage.
Done. Becky, you got it.
We're going with the massage.
All Becky's right. going to have to massage us.
She's off to see Peter Kiravita.
Captain
for a
Paul, keep your clothes on,
special
please.
Special night at Crown and an afternoon tea. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber. Of course, our good mate Dale Alcock and his team helping us bring you the Big Breakfast.
Yeah, if you're building, renovating, or you're developing, you're in safe hands with Dale Alcock because they've also thrown in these the 20K inclusions, don't they, in that other deal?
They certainly
the
do.
Deal.
We're talking the Advantage Series from under 200K and with 20K worth of bonus inclusions.
Yeah, not bad. And if you're thinking about developing, you know, working on your block, you can profit more and stress a whole lot less with developments by Dale Alcock.
Good on you, Dale.
Yeah, check out DaleAlcock.com.au. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix
94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber. Here we are, fueled by one of the finest rock bands in the world, because last night our entire team went and saw... Oh, Paulie wasn't there. Red Hot Chili Peppers! We saw Red Hot Chili Peppers at the venue, formerly known as NIB, of course now HBF Park, is that right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, because lots of HBF venues around the place.
Yeah, and they keep changing.
As you said, first and foremost, what a beautiful setting.
Stunning,
isn't
it?
Great night.
Yeah.
It was a joy just to be there, regardless of the music.
And it felt like a summer's night.
Yeah.
It really was. I loved it. I mean, I have to say, disappointed at George Clinton, the sound. The sound now, it depends where you are in the stadium always when you're at NIB.
Of course, yeah.
But
any outdoor venue.
I experienced it when I saw Paul McCartney. I still loved the gig, but I did get I don't think I got the full sound experience.
Yeah.
But where we were in the stadium, us in the seated areas, I thought there was no point watching George Clinton because the audio was so bad.
It was bad and there was no TV screens. I wanted to see what the Godfather of Funk looked like.
He's 77. Yeah. You know, he doesn't do a lot, George. He sort of sits down quite a bit.
In his throne.
I think Bill Clinton does more.
Yeah.
But It was really, really interesting to watch, but it did sound a bit like a dog's breakfast.
It did.
A couple of times when the wind sort of abated, you could hear the singers in the band had beautiful voices.
Yeah.
And the energy, you can't knock the energy, but it would have been nice to see them a bit closer up.
Yeah, I sort of thought, oh, maybe the audio's been set up for the Chili's, which it had been, because they were much better. Yeah. And it was awesome.
And these guys, apart from Josh, the guitarist who's joined the band about a decade ago, you know, you've got these guys in their mid to late 50s and they just bounce around. I reckon Flea is the Angus, he's the Angus, you know, AC/DC's Angus Young of bass players, because he never stops and he's there for a show.
And love the guy. Strong must that right arm be?
To play bass like that?
He's slapping and, you know, fiddling with the bass. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I was saying to you guys this morning, what I love about it is that they all needed to be there. I was like, God, Anthony Kiedis, he's just so good. That's what keeps this band. And I went, oh, hang on, but Flea's amazing. Yeah, he's totally. And then
then you got Will Ferrell on drums. Yeah. Oh, Chad. I had this one stuck in my head last night. All the way home, hopped into bed, still singing. Dreams of Californication.
Yeah. Beautiful. Great song.
Yeah. A few other classics last night, bit of this one. By the way.
Yeah. I did realise that although I knew most of the songs, if I were to sing them out loud, I don't think I know any of the lyrics.
Oh, no.
I think I've been humming along to those songs for years and not really known what I'm singing.
I got to admit, there was a few, probably of the first 10 songs, maybe 6 that I didn't know at all.
There were a few from the Getaway album. Yeah. The Getaway album came out, I think it was 2016, so it didn't get a lot of airplay. It's still really great quality songs.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know, think about how long these guys have been around for, let's be honest. And last night, I wasn't quite sure whether they'd do Under the Bridge, because I kept saying to you guys, I can't see any Australian tour set list where they played it.
Yeah.
They played it. Here it is. Good old safety bay.
It was great. They are just so fit and energetic. I was kind of embarrassed. I looked them up this morning. Flea and Anthony Kiedis, 56 years of age.
Not bad, is it?
Still getting around with their shirts off. Still doing fine, fit, more energy than I've had this entire last 10 years, maybe.
Maybe 20.
Well, that was the night. There's always a night for me when I, you know, my ego is smashed.
Right.
Yeah.
And at one point I turned to T and she said, oh, God, you know, when I was younger, you know, Anthony Kiedis was, you know, with his long hair and his shirt off. And at this stage,
he was the man.
You know, he had his short hairdo and he had his T-shirt on. And we were sort of looking at each other going, okay, look, we don't want to leave too early because this is a great night. But, you know, starting to make those plans that you do when you're in breakfast radio.
Yeah, thinking about getting up at 4, yeah.
Yeah, then the shirt came off.
Yep.
That's it. I lost her.
She's gone.
I lost her. She was, you know, we're not leaving. Okay.
So if it's not Dave Grohl, then Anthony Kiedis from the Chili's.
I'm painting a terrible picture.
Oh, yeah, you are. No, she loves, it's all right to love
rock. She's cool. She loves her rock.
And watching 56-year-old Anthony Kiedis last night, if anyone's read his book, if you haven't, you've got to read it, but I can't believe the guy is still alive.
Yeah.
You know, he survived a lot of stuff. Yes. So read Scar Tissue if you get a chance.
Yeah. Oh, great gig. Loved it.
Unreal. Chili's last night.
I stayed to the end.
Well done, Kim.
Take
well
that
done.
Breakfast radio.
Hey, well C rocks. She'll be asleep by 8, but that's okay. We'll wake her up. The Big Breakfast with
Claire, Matt and Kimber. Well, I've got another story about a social experiment. It's our favourite topic here in Perth.
Mm.
It's about merging.
Yay.
Merging traffic. Now, we've all, you know, had the on-off ramps at the on the freeway, that merging debate, who has right of way. This is an interesting one. So say you're on the freeway.
Yep.
You got 3 lanes.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the left lane. There's a car in the right lane. So the middle lane is clear.
Yep.
You're both sort of parallel. You're going together.
Right.
And you both decide you want to be in the middle lane.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Who has the right of way?
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
Someone with their bumper in front?
Well,
I'm just guessing.
Yes.
This was the catch, right? Because the WA Department of Transport put this on Facebook yesterday to ask people.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out none of us know what we're doing.
No. There's a great line from a bloke called Jack saying that the two drivers should change lanes at the same time and let their insurance companies work it out.
is it possible while you're driving to do a little game of paper, rock, scissors?
Yes.
Hey, up first.
They reckon that actually what the first, you know, the driver who's slightly forward, if you're at the front, you have the most right of way.
Okay.
But there's there's actually no like real law about it. They're saying the drivers need to wait until it becomes clear that it's safe for one of them to move into the middle lane.
Okay. Yes.
So it's kind of a negotiation. But the comments surrounding it were far more interesting. Like, I loved the people who said the real concern was actually the BMW that comes screaming up the middle lane or the 25-year-old girl in the gets on her phone.
Yes. On her mobile. So true.
But like a lot of modern life, you know, they've introduced so it's like the footy. Right, there are so many new rules now that you no wonder the umpires find it difficult
to negotiate.
And the
players are confused, yeah.
I mean, when I got my license, you gave way to the right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there was never any confusion, even if it seemed like it was a bit unfair, you were in a better position, you gave way to the right.
Can I throw one out there that's sort of pretty far-fetched?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Common sense? Does that come into play when
who
we're...
Who do you think you are?
Sorry, man.
Okay, but wait, where does common sense fit in with indicators? Because
yeah,
if you're
right.
changing lanes and you're not indicating, how are either of these people supposed to know that the other person's changing? But I'm going to say the comment of the week goes to Lockie, who said, this can't be a real scenario because no WA driver would leave the right lane. Bingo.
Lockie. Nailed it.
Absolutely.
Should never have gone to Brisbane, but it's a great comment.
Wrong Lockie.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
This one.
Hey!
That's better!
Woo.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King.
I am glad that it played the wrong one, though, Matt, because the look on Kim's face was gold. It's like, wake up!
What?
I was like, no, I've got nothing.
Early juice? Come on, it's hump day. Leave me alone.
I'll tell you when you can have your juice.
Oh, isn't it great when hump day and teary Tuesday combine?
Yeah.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Now, we've all been in the part of the plane, like up the back, when you're, and I always like sitting up the back of the plane.
Me too.
I actually choose my seat up the back.
Yeah, I like that. Yep.
But that comes with its problems, and one of those problems is that you see the lovely, you know, staff, and you can hear them go, okay, we've got chicken and couscous, something curry,
and
a vegetable lasagna. And that's how it starts, right? And that's the thing about sitting up the back of the plane, you have to wait.
Yeah.
And often, you know, not all the time, when they get to you, sorry, we're out of the chicken and couscous. We're out of the veg lasagna. You've got
the drink.
Yeah. You got this.
You can
right?
have this couscous and cheese and crackers.
Yes, you
Whatever's
can.
Left.
You know, so you've got a meal.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you sit up the front of the plane, oh, it's a very different story. Yeah. I've only done it once in business, and it was a delight, and it's ruined me for the rest of my travelling.
It is a joy, isn't it? Yeah, I did it once too.
So this chap has got onto an Air Canada flight flying between Vancouver and Toronto, which I'm assuming is about 4 or 5 hours flight.
Yeah, probably shorter. Yeah, it's not
so
too bad.
Sort of Perth-Sydney kind of distance. He's got on, and he said, I want my fish.
Right.
And they've said, well, unfortunately, we're out of fish. And he said, well, you've got a problem then. And apparently he was very calm. You've got a problem then because either you serve me my fish or I'll serve myself.
Fish, fish, fish.
We're all too scared to tell him that we've run out.
I want 4 kingfish. I want 4 kingfish. Where's my kingfish? Where's my fish? Where's my fish?
Oh, Marco Pierre going
wasn't
off.
It wasn't Marco Pierre. What? So obviously they've got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how this thing lasted as long as it did, but the disruption, the argument lasted so long that the plane turned back around on the tarmac. The pilots decided that they had now gone over their allotted time and could not fly the plane.
Right.
Therefore, the crew could not fly that plane. Therefore, the flight was delayed by 5 or 6 hours.
What?
Because they have to predict where they're going to be finishing, what time it will be at their destination.
For a dude that wanted fish.
For a dude that wanted fish.
Fish guy.
See, this is the problem with the world today, isn't it? It's everybody, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? Just, no, back down.
Actually,
shut up.
Can you not mention squeaky wheel? Because there are people flying today.
and in that situation, why does it have to take so long? Just get him off straight away.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Or at the very least, go back to the kitchen, grab some of the chicken, fashion it into the shape of a fish and stick it back in a container and you'll never know. It's bloody airplane food.
That's why you're the MacGyver of Perth Radio.
She packs eyeballs.
Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Okay, popped up in the paper today, guys, that our tourism minister, Paul Papalia, wants us to, well, not use the likes of Roger Federer, or in the past we've had Elle Macpherson promoting Western Australia. He wants each and every one of us as West Aussies to start becoming tourism ambassadors for our state, and in particular our city of Perth. Mm-hmm. He also wants to stop saying that Perth, you know, people relating to Perth as the, because we've got that label of the most isolated city in the world. And he's saying there are great big cities all around us. Stop banging on about it and let's be a bit more positive.
Mm. And it's tough because the tourism is declining. We know that not as many people are coming to visit at the moment, and they don't know how to sell the West.
No.
Don't know how to do it.
Well, part of the allure, I would have thought, is our relative isolation, that we are so unique. I mean, Mr. Papalia, and whenever I hear a tourism minister's name, I just want to sing better, but I got to Paul Papalia.
Papalia, Mr. Papalia. He goes,
yeah, the East Coast is a long way away, but our close neighbours in Africa, the Middle East and the subcontinent, I think they're a little bit further.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch.
It's really tough for travellers too, because I think you want to see as much as you can when you take a holiday. Mm. And so like, even when I went to Canada, I chose Toronto because I went, well, Ottawa and Montreal are less than 8 hours away on a bus.
You'll see a lot of stuff.
I'm going to get to see 3 completely different cities on an 8-hour bus trip, you know, I mean, and you come to Perth, it's like, well, okay, cool, but like I can see Margaret River.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, physically, you can't escape the fact that we are a distance away from things, right? You have to fly. Even Eminem on stage last week bitched that he was in a plane. Mind you, it was a private jet with whatever he wanted on board
I
for 20 hours.
Fish.
Yeah, I think he got the fish. He got more than the fish, I'll tell you. But, you know, so you can't escape that. But I guess things like the direct route to, you know, London or Los Angeles might help if you're on a plane. Maybe it's 17 hours from London.
And I know I go on about this, and I never want to be seen as anti-development or progress.
Yeah.
But, you know, that uniqueness that we've got is what I would love to nurture.
Yeah.
And I don't think, personally, that shopping malls create something of difference, a point of difference, a point that we can sell.
Is it a tourism draw card? Or is it not?
Look, I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
People compare Melbourne to Perth all the time. They're like, oh, but in Melbourne, I'm like, they're just completely different cities.
So different.
Why aren't we embracing what we are actually about, which is the laid-back lifestyle on the outdoors?
It's cool that you brought up Melbourne because Laurie, my wife, she's got one of her daughters had a friend over recently who's never been to Perth, and she went, where have you been hiding this place? She's got a real love for it. Now, she's still living in Melbourne, but she came over recently and spent a couple of weeks and went, I'm thinking of raising my kids here because you know, you can get around so quickly. We complain about traffic, but there's not really traffic jams in Perth.
No. English tourist here saying the distance that Perth has makes it unique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a couple of lovely Malaysian ladies hanging out in Nollamara.
Yeah,
so maybe there's
good
stuff going in Nollis that we're not aware of.
They're saying it's all happening and it's easy to get around. Yeah. So, you know, I think maybe it's just we keep pretending we're something we're not. But I'd love to hear more people talking positively. I've always flown the flag for Perth, but I do have friends who are like, oh, Perth. I'm like, stop being like that. Just get out there and see what it's about.
Yeah, is it boring over there? Actually, no, it's not.
I'm good.
Yeah. Just you talk to Paul Papalia. He will tell you everything is going to be so clear.
Actually, you should do a song.
I have to.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Dale Alcock. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.